The book of Philippians, chapter number 1. We didn't get very far, but I'm glad y'all are here. And book of Philippians so far has been a great book. We've only had one introduction to it. And so we'll look at Philippians chapter number 1. While you're finding Philippians chapter number 1, let me tell you, the book of Philippians was written during Paul's prison epistles. So that means there were several books, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1st, 2nd Timothy, Titus, Philemon, was all written while Paul was in a Roman jail cell. You'll see the Acts period, Acts 28 chapters, the book of Galatians, 1st Thessalonians, 2nd Thessalonians, Romans, 1st Corinthians, 2nd Corinthians, were all written during the Acts period. So you're going to read about when Paul goes to Corinth, or when Paul goes to Thessalonica, Paul goes to Rome, such and such, or Galatia, all of these things. Matter of fact, what was it? Galatia. He went in chapter 14 of Acts. I think chapter 18, he went to Thessalonica. 19 was Corinth. 20 was Rome. And then after Acts 28 is when he went to Roman jail. And so there is when he wrote Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, so on and so forth. So the Pauline epistles are divided into those two groups, those that he wrote as a free man during the Acts period. And remember, Paul got saved in chapter 9, and then on the road to Damascus, and then he writes all these books. Well, these are what we call prison epistles. So the theme of the book of Philippians is joy. Rejoice. You'll see all of those words repeated. The reason that's significant is because you'll not hear, when Paul writes a letter to the Philippian church at Philippi, you're not going to hear Paul say, "Church, I just want to tell you these Roman soldiers are being mean to me. I don't like the food here, the temperature. It's cold at night. It's hot during the daytime. They don't have television. I can't watch football." None of that you won't hear. He's encouraging them while he's in prison. Rejoice. You're not going to hear any complaining about that. Why? Because Paul said, "For we know that all things work together for good to them who love God, them called according to his purpose." And so he also wrote that, "I have learned that whatever state I'm in, there I am content." And so anyway, Philippians, if you want to look at this, chapter 1 is an inward look. Chapter 2 is a backward look. Chapter 3 is a forward look. And chapter 4 is an upward look. That's just something little, something you might help you remember. These chapters also, we did this. This is just repetitive now, so I'm just trying to get our footing. The book of Philippians talks about joy, right? You ever had anybody to rob your joy? Man, you got joy. And boy, well, chapter 1's going to deal with circumstances robbing your joy, how to overcome that. Chapter 2's going to deal with people robbing your joy. Chapter number 3 is going to deal with things robbing your joy. And then chapter 4 is going to talk about worry stealing your joy. And so all of those things, that's what the book of Philippians is all about, him writing all of these things. Now, let's look at Philippians chapter 1 and verse number 1. Paul, he's the writer, and Timothy, that's the guy that Paul's writing to in 1st and 2nd Timothy. Timothy, same person. The servants of Jesus Christ, too. So y'all remember, I know I did this as well, but it's almost like a letter that you get in the mail. Up at the very top corner, you've got from, who it's from. And then there in the middle of the middle section there, you got it to. This is Paul writing a letter from Paul and Timotheus, the servants of the Lord Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus. Now, saints, I've said this again, we'll repeat it again because we need to know. Saints is not something you have to be voted in or prayed into. Saint is something you become when you become a child of God. Now, there is a part of you that is perfect. That's on the inside. That's You are a saint. Now, the outside is what we have trouble with. Anybody want to say amen? That's the part when you say, I'm a saint, people look at you, But you're looking at the outward, the saint part, the saved part of me is on the inside. To all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi, with the bishops and the deacons. So, let me try to explain it this way. In the Bible days, now listen, think about this. In the Bible days, there was no church buildings. There were no church buildings. Paul went into this place. The church at Philippi was started in Acts chapter number 16 when Paul went to Philippi. He met Lydia. She got saved. She was the seller of purple. And then that woman that he cast the devil out, I can't remember her name or if they'd ever give her name. And then the Philippian jailer. Remember, sirs, what must I do to be saved? The Philippian jailer. Those three converts, Paul starts this church at Philippi. And these churches, they didn't go out and build a facility. They started churches in their living rooms. So the Philippian jailer probably, I don't know, probably had a church in his living room. 10 people, 15, I don't know how many people you could fit in his living room. So that means that there was more than one church, and because as many people that got saved couldn't fit in one living room. So there were several different living room churches. It wasn't a Baptist church, wasn't a Methodist church, wasn't a Presbyterian church, wasn't Church of Christ, wasn't a Christian, wasn't non-denomination, wasn't confused. They were just saved people that got saved by God's marvelous grace, started a church in somebody's living room. So let me reread verse 1 and see if this will help you. Paul and Timotheus, servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Dyersburg. Now, to all the saints, church, who's that go to? All the saved in Dyersburg. How many saved are in Dyersburg? I don't know. Every morning you wake up, you're thinking, man, is there anybody saved in Dyersburg? To all the saved in Dyersburg, well, where do all the saved go? Well, they go to all kind of different churches. But let's just pretend that there are no buildings in Dyersburg. Everybody's in somebody's different living room. And in each of those living rooms, you got a bishop, a pastor, an overseer that is over that congregation. That is the pastor. He's the preacher. He's the teacher in that living room. And then you probably got a couple of deacons that takes care of this and serves and takes up offering, whatever they do, you know. And so this is what Paul is saying, Paul and Timotheus. Servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi, with the bishops and the deacons. Now notice, you don't see the word priest, pope, archbishop. Y'all see? I'm not trying to offend. I'm just trying to say we believe the Bible, okay? Not talking about nobody. We're not making fun. We just try to stick with the Bible. And so these are the positions in a church, okay? None else. And then verse 2, he says, this is his introductory remarks. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice, let me say this. You can't have peace unless you have grace first. Grace be unto you and peace. If you don't have peace, then you don't have grace. You can't have peace without having grace first. Did you know that you will sleep a whole lot better if you will give more grace? If you don't give people enough grace, somebody pulls out in front of you. I have trouble with this. You know, I'm thinking, oh, you know, just give them grace. Say, Lord, they're not saved. They need to learn to drive. Pray for them right now in Jesus' name. Amen. And you'll have a whole lot more peaceful life than, I tell you right now, honk, honk, honk. And then your bumper sticker says, follow me to Christ Church Baptist Fellowship. Now, that is one of Paul's signature phrases. I'll show you what I mean. The book of Romans, first book that Paul wrote, Romans 1:7. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and Lord Jesus Christ. That's almost like his signature, what he writes. Here's 1 Corinthians. That's the next book. Unto the church of God. Now, that's not the denomination. That's the church that belongs to, preposition of, belongs to God, which are at Corinth. All the saved in Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints with all, they're in every place, called upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father, the Lord Jesus Christ. Then you go to 2 Corinthians. Paul, an apostle Jesus Christ, by the will of God, Timothy our brother, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, with all the saints, all that are Achaia, grace be unto you, peace from God our Father, for the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, that's his, it's almost like his signature, Galatians. Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ, and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, to all the brethren, which are with me, unto the churches at Galatia, grace be unto you, peace from God our Father, the Lord Jesus Christ. Do I need to read any more, or y'all take my word for it? Ephesians, Paul, Colossians, grace be unto you, peace from God our Father. 1 Thessalonians, so on and so forth. It's his signature all through the book. All right, now let's go to verse number 3. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. When Paul prays, you ever had trouble thinking of stuff to pray for? Sometimes you're just in the not in the right frame of mind. But this is what I found. And I'm by no means the expert on anything by prayer. I could pray more, and all of us could. But I have learned this, that when you know not what to pray for, the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. So I have learned that when I start praying, number one, I can pray for myself. I can pray for my family. I can pray for my kids. I can pray for my grandkids, protection over all of them. While you're doing that, Lord, thank you for my salvation. I thank you for dying on the cross for me. While you're praying that, try it and see if I'm telling the truth. While you're praying, all the introduction, thank you for my family. God, I pray you protect all my kids and my grandkids, and Lord, you know their parents and how, you know, anyway, you know, and you start praying all that. All of a sudden, there's people going to start coming to your mind. You don't know what for. For some, I'll be praying for, and all of a sudden somebody that I'm like, why in the world am I thinking about them right now? God knows something that you don't. He says you need to pray for them. Bringing to your remembrance. And so Paul says, I thank God upon every remembrance. And while I'm praying, all of a sudden the Lord brings my remembrance. Church at Philippi, Church at Philippi. Lord, I sure do thank you for them folks. Man, I remember them. I was in a Philippian jail. And boy, that Philippian jailer, boy, I thank you for him. Man, I tell you, I got to lead him to the Lord. Preacher, I can't pray. I can't. Here they come. Talking about them saved people in Dyersburg, where they're not in Millsfield. Hallelujah. Anyway, but people say, well, I just can't pray. I can't pray 30 minutes. People pray for the, I guarantee you start that and the Lord brings you. You look down, you're like, man, I've been praying 30 minutes. Anyway, verse 4, always in every prayer of mine for you, all making request with joy. There's our theme word. So he says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, for you all. Notice Paul was a southerner. He said, you all. He didn't say you guys. He said, for you all. Making requests with joy. Look at verse 5. For your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. I'm thanking the Lord for you. Every time I think about y'all, I'm praying for you. I'm glad with joy and the request with joy. I think about the fellowship in the gospel from the first day. From the first day in Acts chapter 16 when we started this church, from the first day until now. I thank the Lord for that. Fellowship in the gospel. Everybody in here don't hunt. Everybody in here don't fish. Everybody in here don't play golf. Everybody in here don't whatever. And we may not can all fellowship around. So if you're not interested, some of you interested in sports, some of us ain't, and all that kind of thing. We can't fellowship on stuff that, but everybody in here, if you're saved, we can fellowship around the gospel. Boy, you remember when God saved? Oh, yeah, I remember when the Lord saved me. I remember right where I was at. Boy, you got fellowship. You say, what's fellowship? Two fellows in the same ship. Now, you're laughing, but that's true. Fellowship, I'll give you, for instance, me and Johnny, we went to Grecian today, and I tried. He wouldn't buy my, but anyway, I tried, and was trying to have fellowship, and I thought we were going to be doing good till he refused to buy my, but anyway, two fellas sitting at the same table, just exchanging, you know, whatever, fellowship, you see. Paul says, the fellowship, I'm telling you, how many of y'all work out into the world and you have to hear stuff you don't want to hear, all that kind of stuff. We have to be around. But boy, ain't it good to come to church where you don't have to hear that and we get to fellowship, you see. That's what Paul's saying. I'm thankful for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day I met y'all until now. Verse 6, being confident. Paul says, I know this for sure. I am confident of this. Of this very thing, I'm confident of this very thing, that he, the Holy Spirit, which hath begun a good work in you when you got saved. Holy Spirit moved in, started a work. Will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. It's almost like this. I go to Memphis and I buy a ticket. I buy a ticket to Chicago. Somewhere. Well, I don't want to go to Chicago. I want to go to Orlando. Let's go to Orlando. So I go to Memphis. I buy a ticket to Orlando, and I'm on Delta or United or whatever. And so Delta has an agreement that if you buy a ticket from Memphis, we will guarantee that we are going to get you from Memphis to Orlando in one piece. You don't have to fly the plane. You don't have to do nothing. Get in, sit down. We're going to even serve you free coffee. If you want a Coke, we'll bring you one. If it's during supper time, we're going to roll through there and bring you something to eat. You don't have to worry about, just get in, sit down. We'll take care of the rest. I'm about to enjoy my own teaching. Here's the difference. When I got saved, I didn't have to buy my own ticket. Jesus Christ bought my ticket and said, hey, you want to go to Orlando? No. He said, you want to go to heaven? I said, I sure do. He said, it's free. All you got to do is take this ticket, and I will guarantee that I'm going to get you from here to there. All you got to do is get in, sit down. I'm going to even give you a glass of sweet tea while you're on your way to heaven. And so all you don't have to fly the plane. The Lord Jesus Christ, my son's going to take care of all of that. You don't have to worry about serving nobody. Holy Spirit's going to come and give you coffee. All you got to do is sit down. I will guarantee, I'm confident of this very thing, that he, the Holy Spirit, that started a good work, when he bought my ticket and I accepted that, I got in, he said, I will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. I'm going to get you there. You say, preacher, you got another verse for that? Well, sure. Ephesians 4:30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed till when? The day of redemption. Now, we went through this when we were studying 1 Thessalonians and 2 Thessalonians. The day, the different days. Don't have time to do it justice tonight, but I will say this. There are different days of Scripture. Remember? Today is the day of salvation. So, the day of salvation, right here. Here we go. The day of redemption is the rapture. That's when I get redeemed from this earth. The day of redemption. The day of Jesus Christ, that we're the where we just read. I'm confident of this very thing, that he that beginneth good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. That starts here, and it goes all the way over to the marriage supper of the Lamb. That's called the day of Christ. He's going to guarantee that he's going to get me to that point. It engulfs the rapture, the judgment seat of Christ, the marriage supper of the Lamb, and there's different days. the tribulation. That's the day of Antichrist in the scripture. You've got the day of the Lord, which starts here at the tribulation, goes all the way through the day of the Lord. You'll see that phrase, the day of the Lord, as a thief in the night, so on and so forth. The day of Jesus, you'll see that on the screen if you can read that. That's the day of his flesh, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, so on and so forth. All those different days, a great study within itself, but suffice it, the day of Christ starts here and goes over to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Now, verse number 7. Even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, notice you all again, because I have you in my heart, insomuch as both in my bond, notice, in my bonds, he's in jail, and the defense and the confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace. Now, let's see. Let me show you this. This is interesting. Just in chapter 1, verse 5, we've already talked about it. You have the fellowship of the gospel. Verse 7, the confirmation of the gospel. If you're saved, there's going to be confirmation you're saved. There's going to be fellowship if you're saved. There's going to be confirmation if you're saved. In verse number 12, if you're saved, there ought to be furtherance of the gospel. You ought to be telling somebody else about it. And in verse 17, I don't know if we'll get that far tonight, but in verse 17, there's the defense of the gospel. Defending. Contending for the faith, Jude calls. Defense. The defense. I'm defending the faith. The defense of the gospel. And then in verse 27 of chapter 1, you've got the faith of the gospel. Faith is the substance, things hoped for, the evidence, things not seen. And so that's something interesting that Paul repeats. And anytime somebody repeats something, you ought to take notice of it because it must be important. Now, let's go back to verse 7. Even it is in meat. Now, meat. You say, oh, that's an old Elizabethan term. It is. And all it means is suitable, proper, convenient meat. Something that meets together. Bible's easy to understand. It's not hard. Meet. Something that meets together. It's suitable, convenient, it fits, it's proper. And so Paul says, even it is it's suitable, even as it is proper, even as it convenient for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart. He says, the people at Philippi, I have you in my heart. I led you to Christ. I led you to Christ. You're in my heart. You're like my kids, you see. Insomuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye are partakers of my grace. In other words, I'll give you, I'm trying to get further, and I guess I need to slow down and just hang on, because we ain't going nowhere till the Lord comes and gets us anyway. We support, matter of fact, we got a letter today from the church planter, worldwide church planters and so on and so forth, and they give us a thank you letter of what the amount of money we gave them this past year for missions, and so we send them money like we do several other people, and we are partaking. I don't have any desire to go to where are some of them places they went? Amazon. They went to the Amazon. I ain't got any desire to go to Amazon, but I don't mind supporting them to say they can go. God gave me a desire to stand right here. But he gave them a desire to go to Amazon. And so we are partners partaking with them. So guess what? Everybody that got saved in the Amazon, when we get to heaven, we're going to run up on somebody from the Amazon and say, hey, Christ Church, back. Boy, I sure do pray. I thank you for sending them. We are partakers. We are participants of that, partakers of my grace. And then verse number 8, he said, for God is my record. Now, this is what he means. You ever run up on a person from the newspaper or something? They said, can we put this on the record? You go into the courtroom. You raise your right hand. You solemnly swear. I'm putting this on the record. Paul says, God is my record. He knows I'm thinking to tell the truth. How greatly I long after you in the bowels of Jesus Christ. Now, bowels, you see that word bowels. Again, people make the Bible a lot harder than what it actually is. Bowels, let's see. So we got, what is it, B-O-W-E-L-S? All right, you take away the E, and what do you have? A bowl. So a bowl, what a bowl is a hollowed out spot, empty spot, right, in the middle. So the bowl, Paul says, my inner being, the insides of my emotions. In other words, actually, he put that on Jesus Christ. He said, I long after you all. I miss your fellowship. I want to be there. I'm stuck in this jail. I'd rather be there with y'all, fellowshipping with y'all. I long to be with you inside of the emotions of Jesus Christ. That's what he says. And in verse 9, and this I pray. Now, there's five things. I'll show you the five things that he prays for these Philippians. And this I pray, comma, number one, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment. Now, I have to say this because there's a difference in knowledge and judgment. There are people that have knowledge and don't have good judgment. Okay? There are people that are book smart and don't have common sense. Don't look at nobody. Paul says, I'm praying for y'all that God will give you knowledge, and not only knowledge, but judgment, how to use that knowledge. The big thing in the world today is, judge not, lest you be judged. Oh, you ought not judge nobody. Look, that the Bible don't say that. Oh, brother, it says judge not, lest you be judged. Do you know what the rest of the verse says? Or is that the only part you know? You might want to know the rest of it, because that verse says, with whatever, all right, let me give you the example. The example in Matthew 7, where it says judge not, lest you be judged, he says, look here. If you got a big old beam sticking out of your eye, don't be looking down on somebody that's got just a little toothpick. Judge not, because with the same judgment you're passing on somebody, that same judgment is coming back on you. You see? So you have to have right judgment. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? Everybody in here, when you go to the grocery store, you're judgmental. There are some bananas that you're very judgmental over. The ones that are real brown, got the real brown spots, you're very judgmental. Why don't you pick them, take them home? I don't like those. You're being judgmental. Oh, these are too green. Just don't be judgmental. Stop being so judgmental. Just pick up the first ones you see. You see, that's the world's definition. If you're in the car and you pull up on a red, yellow, green. Red means stop. Yellow means speed up. Green means... If you're not judgmental, you say, how do you judge? Bible says judge righteous judgment. How do you judge? According to his word. That's how you judge. Rightly. Don't judge wrongly. There is a wrong way to judge, folks. There is a right way, and it's through righteous judgment. Now, know the difference. He's praying for them. He says, I want you to have knowledge, but I want you to have the judgment of knowing how to use that knowledge and the furtherance of the gospel. And then verse 10, that you may approve things that are excellent, approve things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. There we go. We already know where that is. Being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Christ or Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God. Fruits of righteousness. What are the fruits of righteousness? The fruits of the Spirit is Galatians 5:22. There's nine of them. Galatians is the ninth book in the New Testament. Galatians has nine letters. The fruits of the Spirit is in chapter 5, verse 22. 9. There's 9 fruits of the Spirit in the 9th book of the New Testament. And the Galatians has 9 letters. Don't tell me that man wrote that book. God put that together. And so there you have the fruits and all this. This is his prayer for them. Now, and this is what he said. Let's see, look at verse number 12. But I would, you should understand, brethren, talking to saved brethren, talking to saved people. He says brethren, he's talking to saved people. But I would, you should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather under the furtherance of the gospel. Church of Philippi, don't worry about me. I know I'm in prison. Don't worry about that. The reason I'm in prison, the gospel is going further because I am in prison. I'll prove my point. Next verse. So that my bonds in Christ, he's in prison, in bonds, are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. Paul says, I'm in this Roman jail. I'm preaching to everybody in here. Everybody that comes bring me a meal, I preach to them. I preach to every person they put in this cell with me. Every Roman soldier that comes by, morning shift, noon shift, the afternoon shift, the night shift, I preach to all of them. I'm the further, where I'm at is the further, I'm the gospel's going out further because I'm where I am. You say, Brother Jeremy, can you prove it? Yeah. Turn to the last, you know, the last of the letter when he's finishing up. He's going to finish up and conclude his letter, chapter 4. Watch this. You're going to love it. Stay in your seat. Watch this. Don't get excited. He's finishing up. And in verse, oh, I think I got it on here for you. Hang on. Look at there. If you don't even have, here we go. Here's the end of the book. We all know this verse. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now, unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Then he says, salute every saint in Christ Jesus. Every saved person in Christ Jesus. Y'all see that? The brethren which are with me greet you. There are people that are saved that are with me. They're saved. They told me to tell y'all, hey. And then verse 22. All the saints salute you. Chiefly, mainly, they that are of Caesar's household. I didn't know anybody was saved in Caesar's household. They wasn't until they met Paul. In chapter 1, there wasn't many of them saved, but by the time you get to the end of the letter, he's done let a bunch of them. He said, the furtherance of the gospel, because I'm where I'm at. Leave me alone. Don't pray that I get out, because the gospel, there's more people getting saved while I'm in jail than there was while I was out. You see. Now, verse 14, this is probably about where all have to finish up right here, but right, now watch this right here. Verse 14. He's talking about, you know, these people that got saved, all in the palace and in other places. In verse 14, he said, and many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ, even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. Now let me explain it to you. Paul says there's two groups of people. There's a group of people that like me, and there's a group of people that don't. There's a group of people that are rejoicing that I'm in here, and then there's a group of people that says, I tell you what, if Paul can do it, so can I. If he can be bold in the gospel and preach, so I'm going to do it too. I'm not going to let Paul get no more rewards than I am. So he's got people that like him for the furtherance of the gospel, and then there's other people that are preaching, envy and strife, envy, jealousy, strife, and some also of goodwill. Two groups of people. Now watch what Paul says. If you get this right here, you'll leave out of this building a totally different person. Paul says, I'm in jail, and I know this. All things work together for good, living with God. Them calling according to his purpose. Whether people like me, whether they don't. These people are getting people saved, and these people are getting people saved. It doesn't matter if they like me or they don't. Both groups are getting saved. It's about Jesus Christ. It ain't about Paul. Amen. Watch what he said. Some indeed preach Christ, verse 15, even of envy and strife. That's the people that don't like me. And some also of goodwill. That's the people that like me. Verse 16, the one preach Christ of contention, that's the people that don't like me, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds. They think they're bothering me. No, just get people saved. I don't care. You're not bothering me. But the other of love, that's the people that like me, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. Now, the defense of the gospel, let me say this in passing, and I'll finish up what I'm talking about. There are certain things that I'll argue over. The older I get, the less I want to argue about stuff. There are stuff in the Bible. Where'd Cain get his wife? I don't know. Don't care. I got an opinion, but I'm not going to argue about it with you. We have Bible studies on Wednesday night, interesting Bible studies. When I say that, I'm saying like, remember the night we talked about what fruit was it that Eve ate? Was it an apple? Was it a grape? Was it a whatever? It's not worth arguing. It's fun to study, but I'm not going to fight you over that. You see, Paul says there are some things the defense of the gospel is worth fighting over. The gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection, plus nothing, minus nothing. Fight for it. Defend it. That's what it is. That's the only way you get to heaven. I'll fight for that, you see. Whether Adam had a belly button or not, I don't know. I don't know if he did or not. Don't care. I don't have nothing to fight you over about that. You say, yeah, he did. Okay, that's fine. Whatever. But now watch what Paul says. Verse 17, but the other of love, that's the people that like me, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. Verse 18, now watch this. What then? Okay. Notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense, that's the people that don't like me, or in truth, that's the people that like me, Christ is preached. And I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. Now, you say, preacher, I have a hard time. Okay, watch this. Let me break it down to you this way. Now, I know y'all are not going to believe this. Y'all are not going to believe this when I tell you. But there are people in Dyersburg who don't like me. Y'all, I know that's hard to believe. There are people that in Dyersburg that would not come hear me preach or for nothing in the world. And probably some of them I led to the Lord and taught them the Bible. Okay? And so there's some people that don't, I mean, and they're pastoring churches, and I taught them what little they do know, and they wouldn't come here. They're not going to invite me to their church to preach. There are a lot of people in Dyersburg that like Brother Jeremy. They like his preaching style. They like that straightforward, that old country, just hillbilly, here we go. Okay? And there are preachers in Dyersburg that invite me to come to their church or whatever, and this, that, and the other, and all of that. Guess what? Both sets are getting people saved. You follow me? The people that wouldn't have me come, it don't matter. Paul says they're preaching Christ, they're getting people saved. I don't care if you like me or not. Preach the gospel. It's about the furtherance of the gospel. It ain't about me. Paul says there's people in the Philippi that like me. There's some that don't. Some of them are glad I'm in prison. Some ain't. Either way, preach the gospel, get people saved, and when we all get to heaven, we'll rejoice and be glad about it. That's what Paul said. Verse 19, he says, for I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Now, boy, I don't know if I got time to deal with that. I know what you're thinking. You're looking at that verse going, for I know that this shall turn to my salvation. Paul, I thought you was already saved. He is. There are three tenses of salvation. Let me show it to you real quick. Y'all got time? All right, let me show you. Romans 5:10. There are three tenses of salvation. Paul wrote this. For if we were enemies, we were reconciled, that's past tense, right? We were reconciled to God by the death of his son. When I got saved, let's say, here I am. I got saved, well, let's see, here I am. And that's hair right there, so, okay. Let me draw some hair. That's my glorified body will have hair, you see. And so anyway, there's me. That's when I got saved. That's back when I was 10 years old. I were reconciled to God by the death of his son. I got saved. Okay? Comma. Being reconciled. So, from here, since the day I got saved, from there, I am being reconciled presently, comma, we shall be. When am I going to shall be? Right here. So watch this. I was saved from the penalty of sin right here. I'm being saved right now from the power of sin. And when the rapture takes place, I'm going to be saved from the presence of sin. Three tenses of salvation. From the penalty of sin, from the power of sin, presently, past, from the penalty, present, the power, future is the, the presence of sin. Three tenses. So when Paul says, it shall turn to my salvation, he said, boy, I'm telling you what, I'm looking forward to that day when I get saved out of this present world from the presence of this sin, or presence of sin. Anyway, I need to probably stop right there. Because I get on into this other, and it's verse 20 says, according to my earnest expectation and my hope. What's my hope? You say, preacher, how do you know what he's talking about? Verse 19. He says, my earnest expectation and my hope. What is my hope? My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and his righteousness. What's my hope? Titus 2:13. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's what he said. He said that I'm looking right there, that nothing I shall be ashamed. When he comes, I don't want to be ashamed. Romans, he wrote this one here. He says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. John even said it. 1 John 2:28, and now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence. We are confident. I have this confidence of this very thing, that he that begun a good work in you will perform it the day of Jesus Christ. Confidence, and not be what? Ashamed before him at his coming. Now, I will definitely have to stop right there, because the rest of it will cost us another 30 minutes. And some of you already look hungry. But that's an amazing thing about what Paul said. About that. It really hit me today when I was really horning in on those verses. He says, I got people that preach, strife and contention. They don't like Paul. They don't da-da-da-da. But they're still out there getting people saved. He said, I don't care. I'm going to rejoice with them. They get people saved, rejoice with them. Hallelujah. Wonderful.